We are blessed again to hear from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're looking at Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And we'll hear another parable of Jesus this morning. So I invite you to have your Bibles open as we read and through the sermon so we can refer back to it. Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, some parties and concerts and events that I've been to, or maybe you've been to, require you to have an invitation. You have to receive one and then bring it with you and maybe show it to the person who's at the door so that they would allow you in. In other words, the party is by invite only. If you don't have the invitation with you, you don't get in. You don't get past the security guards. Now, I don't go to too many of these types of events or parties where I need to bring a paper invitation or phone invitation or something like that and show it to someone at the door. No, these days I usually forget where I'm going and I'm heading down the driveway and I wonder, okay, now where are we going? And like, oh, where's the invitation? That's where the address is, right? And that's why I need the invitation, so I remember where I'm going, where the address and location and the time is and all of that. And then later I tend to think to myself, I was invited to this. And that's kind of a good feeling, isn't it? I was invited to it when you're actually personally invited to something. You know, not everybody's invited, but you were. And that feels good. And I tend to feel grateful and good that someone actually invited me to something, right? Well, in today's reading of Matthew's gospel, an invitation goes out to some special people. But they do not come to the party. They don't come to the king's wedding banquet for his son. So another invitation goes out inviting just about anyone and everyone. Very similar, if you're paying attention, to last week's parable, where two sets of servants get sent out to the vineyard. And once again, in today's parable, two sets of servants are sent out with these invitations. And Jesus is once again showing how God has sent both his Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets, New Testament apostles and missionaries, disciples, to gather in those who would come, the bad as well as the good. This is the highways and byways parable, if you have an older translation. It's another parable of the kingdom of God that functions like a net, where the kingdom of God functions like a net that scoops up the good fish and the rotten fish all together. But once the fish are to the shore, there's going to be a sorting out process, or a judgment, if you will, where one is judged against another. And last week's parable of the tenants focused on that judgment happening for those who outright reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, today's parable focuses on those who respond to the invitation of the gospel and yet haven't allowed the gospel to transform their lives, their behaviors, their lifestyles. In other words, they talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. As it says elsewhere in Matthew's gospel, the wheat and the weeds grow together in the church until the judgment day, when there will be that sorting out process at the harvest. You could say that this parable is about judgment within the church. So let's dig into today's lesson about the king's wedding feast and see what happens to those invitations that were sent out and what all this means and how we respond to the invitation today. Well, the parable of Jesus we're looking at in this morning's lesson, it includes a few surprises, and one of which is that part where this man comes to the wedding without the proper attire. He's not wearing the right clothes. And we're surprised by this because we weren't told that you needed proper clothes to come to this party or to this banquet. And then this guy is thrown out on his ears. Well, what is all this about? What does that mean? Well, this teaching of Jesus is called the parable of the wedding banquet, but it's really not about wedding banquets. Like so many of the parables of Jesus, the title has the potential of throwing us off and distracting us from what it's really all about. It's also a well-worn and well-used parable, so it can make it easy for us to just gloss over it and think we know what it means without actually hearing it and experiencing it and engaging the parable for what it is and what it's trying to tell us today. So the parable is really about a dissed king and the consequences for how one responds to his invitation, or about a dissed God and the consequences. And of course, we're supposed to learn from this story, this allegory, about God's gracious invitation through his son, Jesus Christ, along with the different ways in which people respond to God's gracious invitation. The invitation continues to go out to people today, too, to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. God continues to call people to respond to his grace and love by repenting and turning from their sins and turning to God in Christ. Sometimes people are invited directly through the evangelism efforts of a friend who talks to them about the gospel, the content of the gospel, and then maybe asks them for a response. You know, do you believe this? Do you want to be a Christian too? Sometimes it's through the church service or a Christian speaker the invitation goes out. At other times, people are invited into the kingdom first through an act of service, an action of love and unconditional acceptance for who they are. And then they begin to wonder. They begin to wonder, well, what is all this love for? What's the motivation behind this? And then they hear the content of the gospel message. And they want to know more about this invitation that's opened for them too. Well, some of the people who hear the invitation today ignore it. Some people refuse to hear it. They reject it outright. Some people become even militant about it and violent when they hear the invitation, thinking people are trying to impose their will on them. And there's a word for this called proselytizing. Though it's okay for them to preach their form of politics or religion and try to persuade you to their side of things, Christians aren't the only ones who proselytize. Others give lip service. They send the RSVP, but never intend to really do anything with with the invitation. And of course, there are those who just are too busy, too preoccupied with life, with work, with school stuff, hockey. How about a rain check, they say. They send back the RSVP, but it says, thanks, but no thanks, I'm not coming. I think all of these responses can be seen in the parable of the wedding banquet today. But as we'll see, this king's invitation is really not something to be trifled with. First, those who reject the invitation, the first seven verses, if we pay attention to those and focus on those for a moment. In the first seven verses, Jesus really sets up the scene for us. And in this opening scene, we get a glimpse of the graciousness and what I would add, the great patience of the king. The king had prepared a wedding banquet for his son, and he wanted everyone to come and to celebrate with him. These sorts of celebrations in the ancient world, of course, may last a week or more. And do I need to even say it? If the king is inviting you, right? You may not want to turn down that invitation, especially on such a personal celebration of his son getting married. Well, we're told in verse 3 that the king sent servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. The servants went to those, did you notice? The servants went to those who had already been invited. So the servants were actually the second invitation, a personal face-to-face invitation from the king's royal messengers. You might lose the invite in the mail or think it's junk mail, or you might, if you get it by email, it goes to spam or something like that. But it's hard to come up with an excuse when you get a personal face-to-face invitation from someone. But they refuse to come, it says. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Some people don't know a good thing when it's standing right in front of them. So continuing from chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus has been in this direct conflict with the religious leaders of his day. They have been challenging Jesus' authority, especially after he cleansed the temple, overturned the tables, and challenged and judged the whole temple establishment. For a new way would be provided, direct access to God's forgiveness and grace, the way of crucifixion, through the body and blood of Jesus. And by the way, this parable Jesus tells in during the Passion Week that leads to the crucifixion. So Jesus, in his parables, is turning the tables on the religious leadership, actually. In these stories, Jesus challenges and pronounces judgment on their authority. In essence, he says, I'm not the one on trial. Here you are. God's gracious and very patient invitation has gone out numerous times throughout history to God's special people, Israel. The prophets were the king's messengers sent to invite the people to return to him, to follow his ways laid out in his word, but the people kept refusing. They kept turning down the invitation. They rejected God's call, and now God sends one more prophet, his own son, and they're rejecting him too. They're about to mistreat him and kill him. So then Jesus continues in verse 4. In verse 4. The king sent more servants and said, tell those who have been invited, twice now, that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. So the persistent king sends this third round of invitations. This time he implores the people to come by describing the meal. Everything's ready. The preparations have been made. The table is set. All the fixings are there. Won't you come? No, it says in verse 5, they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his field, another to his business. There were better things to do. There was work to be done. There were games to be played or watched on TV. Hockey was happening on Sunday mornings, and heaven forbid you miss a hockey practice. There was so much to do. We can't come to the celebration. We're too busy. Maybe next time. And then there were others who became violent and seized the servants, mistreated them, and even killed them. Which, in the ancient world, would have been a very serious treasonous event, a rebellion. One did not just kill a royal messenger and get away with it. But some of the prophets were likewise mistreated and even killed too. So the parable goes, the king sent his army and destroyed those murderers, it says, and burned the city. And Jesus may be looking ahead to in history to 70 AD when the temple was destroyed and the city of Jerusalem was burned by the Romans. So since those who were already invited some three times refused, rejected, and rebelled against the king and his invitation, the king broadens the scope of the invite now. So that's where we go next, verses 8 through 10. The king offers an open invitation to the wedding banquet. The king's open invitation. Then he, the king, said to his servants, it says in verse 8, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. They wanted to come on their own terms, in their own time, or they didn't think they needed the king's hospitality at all. They were just doing fine on their own, thank you very much. Or they reacted violently to his gracious invitation. So now in the story, the ones who did not deserve to come The ones who do not deserve to come, they have become the undeserving invited guests. They can't handle the grace or receive it. They rejected the free gift of the King, and they continue to do so, even upon multiple and persistent attempts to invite them into the kingdom. They don't deserve the grace because they have rejected it when it was offered to them. Similarly, the religious leaders and other Jews of Jesus' day would reject God's grace and invitation to the kingdom as they reject the Messiah, God's appointed and anointed prophet, priest, and king, God's own son. So the king in the parable says to his servants in verse 9, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went to the highways and the byways, it says, and they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, to the wedding hall, and it was filled with guests. The invitation wasn't open just to the privileged few or the learned and educated only, or to those who keep the law with legalistic precision, or those who think they do. The king opens the invitation to any who would come, the good and the bad. The guest list wasn't based on your history, your family history, or your background, or your race, or your pedigree, or your parole record. The invitation was based solely on the grace and hospitality of the host. And now those who, in the world's eyes, were undeserving and unworthy, they're the ones who are invited. And they're the ones who are responding with grace to the open invitation of the King. The nations are coming to Jesus and putting their faith and their trust in Jesus for salvation. The kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding hall filled with guests, like sinners and the sick, children and the elderly, all who understand their own limitations, who understand their own personal helplessness, their need for help, for love, for forgiveness, for acceptance. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding hall celebration filled with people who do not have this prideful sense of self-worthiness or self-reliance, believing that they deserve the invite. No, they are grateful and thankful for the invite, eternally so. Sinners, religious zealots, Gentiles will fill the wedding halls of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus says. You'll be surprised who you see there. So the wedding hall is filled. The story's not over, is it? There's more to it. The lesson's not over. It's not where the lesson ends. There's this strange incident of a man found to be without the proper attire. He's not wearing the right clothes. So next, the story takes us to another judgment lesson about the one who responds to the invitation, but he does not prepare for the banquet properly. It's about the one who comes just for the food and fellowship, but doesn't allow the king's grace to change his life. So next, the one who doesn't have the right clothes, as we look at the end of this parable, verses 11 to 13. Right when we thought we've caught the lesson of Jesus that he's trying to teach us in this parable, he throws in this one more point, it seems like. There are some who will say with their lips, Lord, Lord, and will come to the party, but they still don't belong. And they'll be thrown out and judged like those who rejected and violently reacted to the king's invitation in the first place. Why is this, you say? After all, the man did respond to the invitation, and he showed up at the wedding banquet. He showed up at the party. Now, the wedding clothes here would be the righteousness of Christ. The story is an allegory, after all. We keep that in mind. So if you're trying to get into the kingdom of God based on any other righteousness, whether it be your good works or status or whatever, that just won't do. This man at the banquet still thought he could come to the king's party on his own terms, in his own clothes. It was the king who graciously provided the wedding attire for the guests, especially at last-minute invitations. Where'd they all get these robes? Well, the king's provided them for them. That would make this man's situation all the worse. Why? Because it would appear that he refused to wear the clothes that were provided for him and were required for the guests by the king. He just wanted to do things his own way. Well, the king approaches this man in our parable and asks him in verse 12, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" And the man is speechless in his guilt. The king then tells the attendants to bind the man hand and foot and throw him out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Judgment. Judgment. The man apparently was given or offered a royal robe to wear, but he refused to wear it. He wanted to be at the banquet on his own terms. Whether he was a rebellious sort or just plain embarrassed by accepting the clothes given to him, we don't know. He certainly didn't prepare himself well for this banquet. So not all who respond to the invitation of the kingdom of God will do so from the heart. There will be many who look like they're responding by some of their actions, but their heart will still be rejecting the grace of God offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's true today too, of course. The teaching of Jesus serves as a warning first to the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Yes, even a loving God will judge all those who insult and ignore or presume upon God's gracious offer and invitation of eternal life in his kingdom through his Son. But it serves as a warning for us today too. The parable concludes with those well-worn words in verse 14. "For many are invited, many are called, but few are chosen." In the context of the parable, the servants went into the streets to find whosoever would come. The invitation went out to all, but in the end, only a few would actually demonstrate that they are chosen. That is, few will show themselves to be true followers of Jesus by changed lives and lifestyles that are fitting for a follower of Jesus. The teaching of Matthew continues, "The wheat and the weeds grow together in the church until the harvest time, until judgment." So simply put, from a human perspective, we see a wide open call, an invitation. From a human perspective, we see people responding to the call or the invitation, but those who think they deserve the kingdom based upon their own merits, those who think they can take or leave the invitation from the King of Kings will themselves be found rejected. No, the true followers of God's Messiah, Jesus, will be the ones who know their imperfections, who know about their sins and shortcomings. They will be the ones who will indeed clothe themselves with the righteousness of Christ, won for them through the cross of Calvary. So yes, there is a warning in today's lesson for those of us who've been rejecting and refusing or rebelling or ignoring the invitation of God to come and to believe in his Son, to follow him. But I think the more glorious lesson in this morning's parable of the wedding banquet is a lesson of grace. This lesson goes out to us today too, for the invitation is still open for all who would come. And God is sending invitations not just once or twice or three times, but over and over again. God is sending out his messengers, his prophets, his invitations to come and to follow Jesus. The invitation is still open. The invitation is open to any who would lay down their own self-righteousness and their self-reliance and to put on the white robes of Christ's righteousness. The invite is open to any who would be vulnerable enough to acknowledge that they need the love of God in Christ. The invitation goes out to the good and the bad, to anyone who hear and respond. The invitation goes out to you this morning too. Will you come? Will you lay down your own self-righteousness, self-righteous acts? Will you put on the white robes of Christ's righteousness? Praise be to God for his gracious invitation to all. Would you join me in prayer? God, we pray that we might hear and heed your invitation to your kingdom today. Forgive us for when we've ignored it, or rejected it, or mistreated your servants who have brought your invitation to us. As we prepare to receive communion next week, speak to us this week, Lord. Speak to us about our faith, about our level of hope, and the things we're putting our hope in. and about how our lives are conforming or not conforming to your kingdom in relation to those around us. Thank you for your grace and your love demonstrated through your one and only Son, Jesus. And encourage us all on our journeys, O Lord, as we continually clothe ourselves with Christ, dying to ourselves and living for him. Help us to maintain a proper perspective of holy fear and awe of you. You, the one and only living God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, King of kings and Lord of lords. To you be praise, glory, and honor forever and ever. Amen.